Now, I'm going to take a recess from 1 Corinthians tonight and get back on that, as far as I know, Sunday morning, and talk about that a little bit. I believe that's when those particular messages the Lord put in my heart needed to be addressed. And so we are going to go to the book of John this afternoon. I didn't give Jan anything to go by this evening. And sometimes I got it all in front of me, but I don't know how it's going to come out, Jan. That's why I didn't give you a lot of stuff. And be in prayer for her this evening. I'll try to be good to you. But I want to talk to you out of the book of John chapter 8. And I want to start reading in verse number 12. Y'all may not know this, but like I said this morning, when I missed, I was here, but I didn't preach for two Sundays, and it's almost like you get out of a rhythm. So this morning, I was, used the term a little rusty, getting back into the rhythm today. I feel a little bit better about it tonight, and I should feel really good by Wednesday, getting back in that rhythm of preaching again. And believe it or not, if you don't do it a lot, you kind of get out of rhythm, and that's me. You might do it and I don't know. It might be better, different from you. I've learned that about people. Different people are affected different ways. But I know for me, I've got to keep a study habit. I've got to keep a study pattern. I study mainly the mornings, just trying to get things in my mind of the mornings. And I just study out different times. I don't have any one particular time to do that throughout the week. It's just an ongoing process of thinking and processing and studying and reading, and then God just helps us. So this evening, I want to talk about carrying the light, or carrying the torch of the gospel. When you look in John chapter number 8, I want to start reading there in verse number 12. And when we pick up there in the scripture, Jesus is talking, and Jesus then spake Jesus again unto them. Those Pharisees that was there and those that was about him. We know that it was the Pharisees there from verse 47 of the previous chapter. And Jesus said these words to them. He said, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The next scripture again reminds us of who Jesus is talking to. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know from whence I came, and I know whence I go, whither I go. And you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. So, Father, we thank you, God, tonight for thy word. I thank you, Father God, for the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Father, I pray, God, today as we share this message, I pray, Father God, that the Spirit of the living God would breathe upon us, God, move upon us this evening. And I pray, Father God, that you would anoint us in a way, God, that when we leave this place tonight, that God, that our lives would be touched and our lives would be changed by the word of the living God, and not by anything that I will do or anything that I will say. Because, Lord, you said again in the scripture to Zechariah that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. So, Father, I pray, God, that it's by your Spirit, God, that you touch us this evening. And help us, God, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. When you begin to look at the scripture, you begin to look at Jesus throughout the scripture. Commentary mentioned that in the book of John, John was repetitive in using this word, light. 21 different times throughout the book of John, John used this word. And it symbolized what Jesus came to do for the humanity, for the human race. So we think about this light this evening, and We think about Jesus being the light of the world. As he says here in the scripture that I read to you, I am the light of the world. So we think about those that encountered Jesus in the scripture. My mind, as I begin to think about this, I begin to think about the book of Acts, of course, in Acts chapter number 9, when Paul was on his way to Damascus and he had papers to take and to bring charges against Christians there that he wanted to be a part of putting them to death. But yet, when Paul was on his way, he was riding the animal, the beast that he was riding upon. The Bible said that there came a bright light. And from that bright light, he fell down to the earth. And then there was an utterance that came out of Paul's mouth when his name was still Saul. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then Jesus responded back to him. And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." The Bible describes us throughout the scripture as Jesus and God being the one that dwells in the light. That God is in and God is light. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation that in that city, we sing a song about that in the convention book. In that city, we sing, there'll be no light in that city, for the Son of God himself is the light of the city. There'll be no night in that city, rather. There'll be no night in the city because God himself is the light of the city. I began to think about those that had an encounter with this light. My question to you tonight is, have you ever had an encounter with a light? Your life will be changed when you have an encounter with the light this evening, if you will. I remember reading in the Word of God in the book of Revelation, and I just want to turn there really, really quick and talk about it. And we see where, again, in Revelation chapter 1, his name was John. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos in 95 A.D. And from that Isle of Patmos, where John had been sent there to be a prisoner, he had a revelation of Jesus and began to write the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as a part of that introductory to the book of Revelation, that Jesus himself appeared unto him. And we read this and we see that he had this, this description and this depiction of Jesus there. And we can see that how that he began to look upon him. And we can see it in Revelation 1 and 10, he said, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and behind me I heard a great voice as a trumpet. And that voice was saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last. What thou seest, write in the book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and Laodicea." And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks in the churches that's there in the Revelation. And it says, and in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks, he said, there was one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot and girded about the paps, the golden girdle. And he said, his head and his hairs were like white wool and as white as the snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass as it burned in the furnace. And the voice, the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand the seven stars. And out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun that shineth in strength. Can I tell you tonight, on this Sunday night, in the year 2023, what's today's date? The 16th of October, I believe, that I am here to declare unto you that the light that John saw when he encountered Jesus on that occasion, that light is still shining for you and I tonight. And if there's ever been anything in our lives today that we need the light again to be in our lives. When we think about this, he says it shineth in strength. And then he said, and when I saw him, this was John's reaction, if you will, or what happened to John when he saw him. He said, I fell at his feet, is dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and of hell. I want to tell you something, friend. As much as we are in need of, as much as they were in need of a lighthouse then, you and I are in need of a lighthouse now. We've not made it home yet. We are still on the journey. Amen. I looked this up earlier and I thought about this, and I thought about an old song that was written. And I had to dig the words out over there. And I know that Brother Ronnie sings this. And I asked if he was singing it tonight. And Jody told me no. And it says, this is the song, The Lighthouse, that Ronnie Henson wrote many years ago. It says, there's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light. Somebody say amen. It sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in the darkness now will safely lead us o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. I'm not going to read no more of that, but I just want to simply say this evening, where would you and I be this evening if you and I did not have the light in our lives today? So what about this? Paul teaches us that we must run with the light. So this whole thing is going to be based on the first part, is that you and I are torch bearers. When you look into the scripture, we see this in the book of Matthew. You know the scripture as well as I do. Matthew chapter number 5, we see this, and we see as we begin to look at this in the scripture. Let me turn there because I don't want to get ahead of myself. We see in Matthew chapter 5, and this is what the Bible says. He says that you are the light, or the salt rather, of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. The next verse, if you look it up in verse number 14, again, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Jesus knowing that it would be soon that he would go away. It would be soon that Jesus would ascend back to the Father. And he would be at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for you and I. So Jesus left something in their lives. There's a song on K-Love that says, he put his light in me. So you and I this evening, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you remember the 10 virgins? There were 5 that were wise and 5 that were foolish. And those that was foolish said to the wise, give us oil. Oil was to put light, and it was to put into the lamp. And I thought about Gideon. I thought about when Gideon's army went forth and they began to fight against the Midianites, I believe it was. And how that all they had with them was a little oil and a lantern, and their lantern. And when the Midianites came up on them, they began to shout with a great shout that the trumpet, the sword of the Lord of Gideon. And when that happened, we can see that they broke their lanterns. And as they broke their lanterns, they gave up a big shout. And they thought that all this troop was all around about them. And it wasn't but what, 300 or something like that? Then it boiled right down to it that Gideon beat all that great big army of the Midianites that came against them with just a handful of people that has had the light in them. And you and I this evening, we think that we are a small force in a big world. But in all reality, and you've heard this before, it only takes a little bit of light to shine the way. It only takes a little bit of light to make a difference. And we thought about this, and we thought about the scripture and how that why do we need light? And I know that myself, I don't always use a flashlight, and I don't always turn the light on when I'm at the house, but it sure does help, don't it, when you're walking through the house in the middle of the night. It don't take a whole lot. But the Bible teaches you and I about the gospel message and how that the gospel message is imperative today in a lost and a dying world. The Bible reminds us as we begin to look at this scripture again where it says, you are the light of the world. He put his light in us. And he says, and you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. God never intended for the church to take a back seat and hide itself in some corner somewhere. But God has called you and God has called me to take this glorious gospel, if you will, just like a torch, and shine that torch into a lost and to a dying world, that all that run the race, if you will, it talks about that. I'm not going to take the time to read every bit of that. But he talks about this in 1 Corinthians, and he said that we're to run this race with intention. We run this race so to win the race. And he teaches us in 1 Corinthians 9 not to be one that beats the air. He said, but Paul was saying, but I keep myself in subjection to the Spirit so that I can run with purpose. If there's anything the church needs to do today, we need to take the light of the glorious gospel and lift it up, if you will. Put it on a pedestal, if you will, so that everybody that runs, that the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will light the pathway. He said in the Word, I am the light of the world. Now again, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. So what does that mean? It means that Jesus has put his light in us. How many of you know the moon by itself has no light? The moon is only reflects the sun. I'm not a scientist, neither am I the son of a scientist. But they tell me that anyway, that the sun, the moon just reflects what it sees. And it's like a mirror, if you will. It just, somebody says, boy, that moon's shining bright tonight. No, that moon is reflecting bright tonight. And you and I, when we have the glorious gospel, when we have the glorious gospel this evening, we are just a reflection of a greater thing that's going on the inside of us. Amen? So the Bible reminds us that you and I have this glorious thing called the light of the gospel in us. You've heard it said, and I've said it, and I'll say it again most likely, that you are sometimes the only Bible that some people will ever read. And I thought about that as I was processing this earlier today and making my notes and stuff to what I would be speaking on tonight. And you might be the only Bible that some people ever read. And I thought about, what are they reading? What are they reading this evening? Are we reflecting the true identity of Jesus? Does our life reflect the love of God? Does our life really represent Jesus well? You say, preacher, you're big on that. Oh, yes, I am, because we live in a corrupt world. We live in a world today that is so corrupt that this world today needs genuine, God-fearing Christians to stand up and to let the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ shine through every one of us. So the Bible reminds us about the Word of God. The Bible reminds us the Word of God, because in the book of Psalm, and I love this, because he teaches us that men love darkness rather than light. And I'll get into that in a minute. That men, for the most part, love darkness rather than light. So why is it imperative that the church carry the torch? The torch is the gospel. The torch is the message. David declared, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word of the Lord is perfect. The heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. But what is the word of God? Why is the word of God important? The word of God is like the flame on the torch. It burns and it shines. And the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. But I like this scripture over here in the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Psalms 119 is the longest of the Psalms. Verse 105 says it like this. It says in the scripture, he says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The word of God leads. The word of God guides. And if there's ever been a time in humanity that we need the word of God, the glorious light of the gospel, it is the day and the hour that we're living in. Why? Why? It don't take a whole lot to figure it out. All you got to do is look around town. All you got to do is just take a look around town this evening and see the condition of the heart of man today. To see the heart of man today. Men, the Bible describes this in the scripture that men love darkness rather than light. So we need the glorious gospel to shine upon the pathway to lead others to Jesus. To lead men. Show them the way. Show them the pathway. Can I tell you, and this is maybe my opinion, that in so many places in Christendom today, in Christianity today, that the church has become hardly anything than just a social gathering place. Just a place to hang out. Just a place kind of to come and see what your neighbor's into or to see what somebody's doing. And my friend, again, I might be meddling here a little bit. It's okay to have fellowship. It's okay to come and be a part of a great fellowship. And I want us to be that. But the bottom line, friend, is we've got to be willing to take this message of the gospel into a lost, into a dying world. Amen. Several things I want to talk about. Light guides through the darkness. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet. It leads us and it guides us. I don't know about you, but I thought about the Bible today. I thought about this old book that we tote around with us and we carry around. How that the word of God in so many places today is no longer a valued piece of armor, if you will. It's nothing more than an antiquated piece of material that some people would put into a museum somewhere or put it on a shelf somewhere. But my friend, to you and to I, it is God's holy word and it's God's holy writ. The Bible said it, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And we believe that even in this church today, that it was not of any private interpretation, but holy men of God bore alone. They were breathed upon and they wrote the holy word of God. 47 different authors, 1,500 years, 66 books, and it never contradicts itself. And it's always true. Hold on to the lamp this evening because it'll lead you and it'll guide you and it'll show you the way whereby we are to go. I hope I didn't say something funny there. The lamp of God and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been talking about that a whole lot. Let me open my Bible back up. I kind of lost my place. The sweetness of the Holy Ghost. Don't you love that this evening? We think about the sweetness of the Holy Ghost as it pertains to the word of the Lord. We look again in the book of John, chapter number 14. Again, where Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going away. That he was going to go back to the Father. And the promise that Jesus left this early church is, if we're the light of the world, how did that happen? Jesus went away. So Jesus has made a deposit in us by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, I've been talking about that several weeks now, and I don't want nobody to get, kind of freaked out. That's the only word I can think of. Because we talk about Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit, because he's just as much God as God is God. And just as much as Jesus is. Amen? Because I mentioned it today that I believe and we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen? We believe in that. And Jesus teaches us how that we become bearers of the light. If Jesus went away, how did that happen? Well, he teaches us this, that is part of the of what Jesus said in John 14. When you look at this in verse 17, he says, and even, let me go back to verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. We've learned from Sunday school class and other classes and things that we've taught and we've preached that that word another simply means one like unto the same. Amen. And he said another comforter. That word comforter is paraclete. It means one who was called alongside to help. He becomes our advocate, if you will. And he says that he may abide with you forever. He will abide with you. He will abide with the church. In 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. And this is a scripture that me and Brother Sparks has talked about before. And he said, but you will know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. By the power of the Holy Ghost, he says he has put his Holy Ghost in you. He has put his light in you. And my friend, he even put the battery pack in you as well. What are you talking about? Acts 1 and 8. Oh, I'm getting off my message. And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. That word power is what? Dunamis. Energia. Dunamis is like dynamo or dynamite. He shall put his power in the church to become a witness for him. That's the whole point of part of the whole thing is become a witness. We do it with the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost. He says this again in this scripture. He said, he shall be in you. Now somebody say, I've got the light in me. I will not leave you. He shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, and you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Look in verse 20. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel this evening, but I'm so glad tonight to know that we have got a live Holy Ghost. Amen. We've got a light inside of us. See, Jesus, when Jesus did this, he told us that the world may not even know him. The world may not even know him. We see this in the scripture in a variety of different places. Because the world, when we think about the world, we think about this cosmos or cosmos, if you will, and it's the dwelling place of man. We think about that in that context. But we think about, you know, Jesus said to love not the world, neither the things of the world. And if any man love the world, that the love of the Father is not in him. So we look at the scripture and we see this in John chapter 1 again, because there's a description that John actually gives in the scripture of Jesus again, talking about the light. But he talks about where, if you will, that men left to themselves walk in darkness. Men left to themselves really don't even know how to get out of the darkness, if you will. I thank God, and I don't do this, but only to say I thank God that he did this. I got under conviction when I didn't even know what conviction was, Sandra. The Holy Ghost was dealing with me about my sins, and I didn't even know that it was the Holy Ghost. But I'm so glad for the day that I was about 18 years old and I had went to a Wesleyan church with a buddy of mine in Sunday school. This lady was teaching Sunday school. And to this day, I can't tell you a thing about Sunday school. But I sat there in that Sunday school class and I wiggled and I squirmed and I was under conviction and I didn't even know what conviction was, but I wiggled and I squirmed and I looked at him at the end of that Sunday school class. His name was Mark. And I said, Mark, I'm leaving. I don't know why I'm leaving, but I'm leaving. And I left. I was driving an old 73 or 74 Ford truck. I went up Thompson Cove, and the Spirit of God again spoke to my heart. It was about 5 minutes till 11 when I drove up Thompson Cove, and the Lord spoke to my heart again. He said, "You got time to stop at church." You know, my granny was in there, and I love my granny. I love my granny to this day. She's shouting around the throne room of glory this afternoon. I love my granny. I wanted to be with my granny. And I went in there, and I knew it was time for church. I went in there just to be with my granny. But that voice in the back of my mind said, "You got time to stop at church, Don?" I didn't know it was God. I didn't know it was the Holy Ghost. But He was speaking to me. And I went into the church that day. And that's the morning that I got saved. Really, and it stuck. I was around 18 years old. I didn't write dates down back then, and I didn't retain a whole lot to the calendar and stuff of that nature. But I thank God for that to this day. But the Bible teaches us that men walk in darkness. That Jesus came. Watch this. Jesus came, and the light that came to get you and I out of darkness. Amen. How many of you know I got chickens? I got five chickens, five hens, and two little roosters. One mean rooster and one nice rooster. And every night I go out there and I pin them up. I lock them up every single night. And I've got a light on my flashlight. There have been a few times that I've walked out there, huh? I got a light on my flashlight. I got a flashlight on my phone. Sherry, that's why. That's why she's come home, to help me. And then, see, I go, and every time I go out there, I go and I do this right here. And I turn, it's supposed to come on. And I go, and then I walk my way through the yard, and I'm going out there to the chicken lot where I won't step on a possum or a rattlesnake. I'm just kidding. But it just takes a little bit of light. And I see where I'm at, and I see where I'm going. You think, well, that's not a whole lot of light. But you know what, my friend? When it's pitch black dark, it don't take but just a little bit of light. You see, and I said that to say this. Because when you look in the scripture, in John chapter number 1, this is what the Bible says. John chapter 1, you know the scripture as well as I do. And this describes Jesus. In Him was life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In Him is life. And then He says, "And the life was the light of men." God came to reveal Himself, to illuminate. Jesus came to reveal Himself and to illuminate Himself so that men that walk in darkness, just like I was when I was about 18 years old, I was lost as a rubber ball in a weed patch. I didn't know my way from up to down. I remember talking to a man that lived near my mom and dad. He was actually a man that went around to convenience stores, and he sold candy. Candy bars. We called him the Candy Man. He worked for Haywood Grocery Place up there where they deliver groceries. I was up there one day, and I was tore all to pieces. Brother Don, my stomach was all tore up, And I would almost have to sleep on a pillow at night just to keep my stomach from hurting. Just nervous as I could be all the time, just tore up and nervous. So he told me, he said, "The only thing wrong with you, son, is you're in love." Me and her was dating, and he told me that. I thought, well, maybe that's true. But I came to find out later that, you know what, it wasn't, even though I was love struck with her, absolutely. But you know what the real thing was? I was under conviction. I couldn't find no peace. I couldn't find no joy. Couldn't find no happiness. And see, our world today is filled with people that are pumping their veins full of drugs. And you can't go by this liquor store over here near Zaxby's about any time. And there's a line out the door. People are going and buying liquor, especially around the holidays. And I mean, there's a line, just people after people after people after people. And people are trying to drown their pain and drown their sorrow in all the things of the world, if you will. And see, the Bible says this real simple. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Next verse. Because when we look at this in verse number 5, he goes on a little bit deeper and he says, and the light shineth in darkness. The light shineth in darkness. The light is shining even now. In our world today, the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is shining now. And it says, and the darkness comprehended it not. I've thought about that. And you and I, and we talk to people, Brother Russell, and we tell them about Jesus. And they just stare at you. They just stare at you. And I'm thinking to myself, Brother Cain, if people just knew the Jesus that we're talking about, if people just knew the joy and the peace and the let me use the word happiness in there as well, of what Jesus can do to their soul and how that he can turn their life around. But the Bible says the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I think about our world today and the condition of our world today. And then we can see where that Jesus was talking about the Jews and the Gentile at that time. How that Jesus came into his own and his own received him not. How that Jesus came and Jesus shared that he was the Lamb of God, the precious bread of life, and etc. And yet the Bible reminds us that he came into his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I'm so thankful tonight that when I was 18 on that Sunday morning, that Wanda Parkins came back there and she sort of tapped me on the shoulder about where Dalman was sitting there. She said, Alan, we love you. Do you want to go pray? I didn't know anything about being lovesick. I didn't know anything about the church much. I didn't know anything about anything. But I stepped out and I said, yeah, I want to go pray. She led me to an altar of prayer and it changed my life. Here it is 35 or 40 years later, and I'm so thankful to God that Jesus still shines in my heart tonight. And it's all because of the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And if he can shine in me, he can shine in you. And in your darkest and most horrible days, I'm telling you what, friend, all I got to do is reach on the inside of me, no matter what's going on the outside of me, and know that the sun is still shining bright on the inside of my soul. And all the people of God said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for his light in the city. Thank God for his glory. Thank God for his power. So we see this again. Again, the Bible talks about this in 1 John 5 through 7, chapter number 1. And it describes this glorious, glorious, glorious man by the name of Jesus. He says in verse 5, this then is the message which you have heard of him that declare unto you that God is light. You want to turn your life around? Come to the light. Come to the light. Come to him. You think, well, we're all saved here tonight. Just because we're all saved, it don't mean that we don't have a few problems. We don't have a few burdens to bear. Oh, I'm just cutting this message in half of what I studied. It don't mean that we still don't have problems. It don't mean that we still don't need Jesus to shine in our heart. The Bible says in the scripture in John, he says, this then is the message which you have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness. That word can mean also shadiness or unhappiness. He said, if you say that you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. Verse 7, I love this verse of scriptures. You stand with me. Verse 7, he says it like this. And again, I cut this in about half of what I had prepared. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. from all sin. If I was going to go on and talk about the rest of this, I would talk about again the sweetness of the Holy Ghost, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We'd need to talk about light reveals. Men need to get out of darkness, turn the light on, and it exposes the dark places. And then Jude talks about again, as we, the book of Jude, one chapter, talks about men giving others hope, the light giving others hope, and pulling them out of the flames, pulling them out of the flames into safety. When you leave this room tonight, just remember, there'll be somebody this week waiting on you. There'll be somebody this week needing you. There'll be somebody this week depending on you. My friend, let me just say this. This is not in my notes anywhere. This is just one of them things. Keep your prayer life intact. Keep your prayer life intact. Why? Because you never know when God's going to put somebody in front of you that needs a word of encouragement. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit this morning in discernment. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God will help you discern your environment and your atmosphere. And if you feel like you need to speak to somebody gently about the Lord, go ahead and do it. It might be the only opportunity that you'll ever have or I'll ever have to talk to somebody about their salvation. You don't have to be pushy. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be in your face. You don't have to do that. Just simply telling somebody sometimes, you know that you're loved. It's as easy as me looking at Louise this evening and saying, you know what? You know you're loved. They're going to go, what? You're loved. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus died for you. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you want to know who Jesus is? Can I pray with you? Whatever the case may be. And see, it'll be a great opportunity. Well, that's about half of what I'd studied. But Father, we praise you tonight. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to share the word of God today. And Lord, you convicted my heart. You dealt with my heart about this message to let us know that as we leave this church, as we go out into the highways and the byways, that God, that we may be the only Bible that some people ever read. And God, we may be the only light that is in somebody's life. And Father, I pray, God, that even now, that Spirit of the living God, that Lord, you, Father, will go before us. And you, Father, will lead the way, put people in our pathway that need to hear the message of the cross. And Father, we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I got to tell you a story. I forgot to tell you this. You don't need to say it. Just let me tell you one of the most staggering moments that ever came to my life about this type of a message. Is I was having a bad time. My mom wasn't saved at the time. I was just in a grumpy, grouchy, hateful mood before I learned better to try not to ever do that. I had to learn. And something was going on with a conflict between me and my sister that's been here before. Beth, she's been here. And I was just at mama's house, and I was in that old grumpy, hateful, mean, nasty, ugly mood, you know. And I turned to my mom and I said, well, Mom, the only thing I'm ever trying to be to this family is a light. Probably in about that attitude, Don. She said, well, you're doing a sorry job of it too. And at that moment, there was something flipped inside of me. See, moms and dads have a way of doing that. It was something flipped on the inside of me. And from that moment, this was years ago. I mean, oh, I still lived in Waynesville then. And there's a way that moms can speak to sons, if you will. But you know, Don, from that moment, I was in her kitchen. My mom was sitting in the living room. And she said those words to me. She's probably listening. She might remember it. And she said, son, and you're doing a sorry job of it too. It changed my thinking. It changed my life to let me know that I am a representative of Jesus. And I need to be the light into a lost and a dying world. So when we leave here this evening, we must know that we're reflecting Him. God bless you. I love you. Have a wonderful night. In Jesus' name.